It's time for the MMA Insiders.
All right, back here, Brett Okamoto, ESPN.com, Adam Hill, covering the cage.com, Las Vegas Review Journal, Steve Cofield. We cut you off when we went to break. Did you have something else to say on Mark Hunt?
Oh, just that I thought that the UFC might as well just embraced it. You know, I mean, he's saying what he's saying anyway. They should have had him as the co-main event if
he's
they could on
the
some kind of card. Yeah.
Yep.
Let him call Alistair Overeem a cheater. You know, now he's suing mm-hmm. the president of the company, and he's going to be standing right next to Dana White. This could have been a bigger story than it really has. As it is, it's been kind of flown under the radar because it's the third fight of the card.
So our MMA 6, we're counting down the big 6 stories of the week. Dana White, Tyron Woodley do not like each other. There's a feud. Dana has called him Dr. Woodley. We can explain that in a second. Drama Queen. And I kind of just made up this one, Mr. Draw. So he was getting on him for not winning the last fight. Woodley had some things to say about Thompson having a concussion. He shouldn't be fighting. And then the Drama Queen thing takes in kind of everything else that Woodley complains about. So are they okay? Do they hate each other?
I think they're fine. If you saw a video of them today, it was like a selfie where they were laughing and calling each other Drama Queens. In a way, this has been great promotion for the fight. They've both been on SportsCenter. You know, the SportsCenter anchors have been. So Tyron Woodley says he's the worst trio champion in UFC history. Oh, he's a drama queen. No, the real drama queen is Dana White. That's as good of a promotion for the main event as is the draw, if not better. So in a way, I wouldn't say this was planned, but I think they both kind of realized that, like, hey, this is getting attention. We might as well just keep going with this.
Yeah, and I think Woodley knows that too. And I think, you know, Woodley has complained a lot about how he's promoted. He's complained this week about how he's been promoted. But again, if you find an interesting angle and you can sell really anything about a fighter, this is one of those things with Woodley. You know, he's got a feud with the boss. Okay, that's interesting. Now we can talk about that. And as you said, now you can put that on SportsCenter. Now you can put that story out. And I know he's, you know, annoyed by answering the question all the time about, you know, the feud or whatever. But it gets people hooked in and gets people interested in the story. And any way that you can draw attention is usually good, as long as it's not, you know, hurting somebody or committing a crime. And even sometimes that's good. But I think there's so many different ways to market a fighter and to push a fight. This is just another way to do that. And I think it's been fairly successful, especially, you know, they're coming off a really good fight against Thompson, but there's really not, you know, heat with Thompson and Woodley to try to sell and, you know, find heat with somebody. And he did.
For the record, do you think that he's mistreated and not promoted correctly?
No. But I don't think so, because I don't know what there is to necessarily sell about him, and he doesn't really do it himself. If you remember, like, a couple of things that I remember about him is I'm trying to remember which fight it was, but there was so much drama going on in Ferguson, Missouri, where he's from, and he was part of it. He's from the area. And a lot of people wanted to talk to him about it. A lot of people wanted to do stories on it. And it was like people were clamoring for it. And he did a couple, and then he shut it down. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm not going to do it. Everybody's asked me about it. And I understand why. I know why he didn't want to. It was about, you know, kind of exploiting where he, you know, the area is from. And everybody wants him to be the spokesman for all the strife that's going on. But at the same time, like, there was something that people were interested in. They really wanted to talk to you. Everybody was clamoring for your story. And at some point, you just said, I'm not doing this anymore.
Which is kind of funny, because part of his rant about being mistreated, when he mentioned it on ESPN, he's like, people don't mention this, this, and this, and they never mentioned Ferguson. You just said they did,
yeah.
And you shut it down.
Yeah.
They did in the past, and he shut it down.
Yeah, and he, like I said,
I knew that
did.
Was incorrect when he said it. I'm like, people talked about
right.
Ferguson. Should they do it for every fight? Maybe they should.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, it's something he did. It's not like he didn't do any stories on it. He did a couple interviews about it. I thought you might have even done one. I can't remember.
I did, and I can actually remember really well. I can remember the fight. He was over in Macau, and he was fighting Dong Hyung Kim. And I remember he told me he was walking through the mall. You know how there's that big mall where they all stay?
Yeah.
And I was asking him, because it literally, the riots had just broken out in Ferguson. So I was asking him, like, hey, you know, this is the street you grew up in. And he actually was very good with me. He talked about it. But then the PR guy who was with him later told me, like, Tyron really didn't enjoy answering your questions. And I was like, what? Why? Like, this is a massive event going on from his hometown, literally where he grew up. Like, he was talking to me about how he used to live blocks away from where they were rioting. So I thought it was great stuff. And then, yeah, he didn't want to talk about it. So My take on it is that he might have a point, but he's bad sometimes at explaining why. And if you can't explain why you're claiming that you're the worst treated champ in UFC history, people just automatically are going to jump on you for it.
Yeah, and you know, and again, I think I can understand his perspective. Like in that case, we're just using that the Ferguson case as one. Like in that case, and I think what he would have said to why didn't you want to talk about it to Brett if you know he gave you good answers, it was an interview, and he would have said, well, why didn't he ask me about the fight or why didn't he ask me about this? Well, you need to have a hook. There needs to be something that draws people in, and sometimes people don't understand that. Like, oh, now you want to talk to me because I'm from Ferguson. Yeah. I mean, yeah, kind of. I think there is that.
Not even that, yeah, we want to talk to you because you're from Ferguson, but this is a national news.
Course,
this is what's going
right
on in this country. If you don't want to talk about it and say, you know what, it's hitting too close to home, I'll talk about it after my fight, then that's fine. I'll never forget that because we had a good conversation about it, and then yeah, apparently he didn't like the line of questioning,
yeah,
about it.
And I can understand. And you know, he's made a lot of it about you know, that there's institutional racism and stuff like that in the way athletes are covered, and especially fighters in the UFC. And he actually adjusted that yesterday to say it's not necessarily that, because there's other people you look at. He actually went to bat for Amanda Nunes yesterday and said, you know, Amanda Nunes is a champion. She's on this great run, and everybody wanted to talk about Ronda Rousey, and it wasn't about her. It's not just about black fighters. It's about a lot of different fighters not getting their respect in certain ways. And I think, you know, sometimes it's just a different perspective on things.
I wonder if he also projects his treatment from fans on Twitter and social media onto the UFC, because I'm sure he gets it a lot.
Yeah, and he talked about that yesterday, too. He said, you don't have to see my mentions. Like, yeah, that's not the UFC, and that's not media, and that's, you know, that's idiots, that's ignorant people, and I'm sure it's bad at times. I'm sure it's awful.
No, I'm sure it's terrible.
And you know, he said, especially after the Thompson fight, like, yeah, you're fighting a Southern dude. Like, that's what's going to happen, and it sucks. But it's not the media's fault, and it's not the UFC's fault, and it's not Dana White's fault. It's ignorant people's fault that act like that. So, you know, if you want to say, like, you don't understand what the racism that we deal with, yeah, I think you're probably right and you're correct about that. But I think it also projects onto the wrong – he's projecting onto the wrong people.
Top story. Is that the best fight on this card, or is it Khabib and Tony Ferguson?
Oh, you know my answer to this. I mean, I think every Nurmagomedov fight is the best fight on the card, or whatever fight card it's on. But this is a fight that – I know I've been waiting for. I know a lot of people that follow the sport closely have been waiting for a long time. It took more than a year to come together. I think Nurmagomedov, I believe, is the best fighter in the world, not even in that division. I think he's definitely the best lightweight, but I also think Ferguson is the worst matchup he could have of anybody in the lightweight division.
So to his point, are these the two best 155ers, while the richest isn't fighting, Conor McGregor, he's the champ, are these the two best 155ers? And his claim, I mean, you're saying it, right? Khabib is the best pound-for-pound fighter.
I would say, first off, the lightweight question, are these two the best lightweights in the world? I think they're the most decorated lightweights in the world. Whoever wins Saturday's fight will be the most decorated, and quite frankly, I'll probably rank him as the number one lightweight, because Conor McGregor has not fought a lot of lightweight fights. He fought one against Eddie Alvarez, and I thought the style matchup for him was very good in that particular fight. And other than that, I mean, I don't know how you can rank that guy above someone like Tony Ferguson, who's won 9 in a row, someone like Khabib Nurmagomedov, who was 24-0 in his career. So I would probably say that just by default, I have to put the winner of Saturday ahead of Conor. But that's a fight I would love to see, and I'm not convinced that Conor can't beat either one of those. I'm done with the days of, you know, Conor's been picking his fights. He's not as good as we all think he is. I'm completely past that. Not saying that I think that, you know, he would run in and run through Khabib or run through Tony, but I'm just saying I think he's very legitimate. I think he's very good, and I would love to see who the best lightweight is, and I hope that we get to see who the best lightweight is after this weekend.
I can't even put into words how much I would want to see Nurmagomedov and Conor McGregor. I can't, and that's why I know Ferguson's going to win Saturday, and I think that would be a fun fight too. No, you never get what you want in the sport ever, and it's that fight. First of all, let's start by saying, and Khabib said it yesterday, he wouldn't say it today, I don't think there's any chance Conor McGregor takes that fight. I just don't see it. I can't imagine him taking that fight. It's a terrible matchup for McGregor. It's just like I think Ferguson is the worst matchup in the lightweight division for Nurmagomedov. I think I think McGregor does not match up well at all with Khabib, and I just don't see him accepting it. And again, he doesn't have to. I mean, he can take a fight at any weight class and make a ton of money and go wherever he wants. But he will be the lightweight champion, and Nurmagomedov would be the interim champion, and I just can't imagine that fight ever coming together.
I had a theory, and I was talking to someone about this today, and it was kind of a joint theory that we reached to as we were just kind of, you know, discussing sort of what's going to happen. And can you imagine this? And I actually think this is very possible. If Khabib wins, what comes next for Khabib? Ramadan. He doesn't fight during Ramadan, which is May through June. He probably couldn't fight in July because he said he's just so weak. Yeah. It's a fasting period for the Muslim. It's a Muslim observance. So knowing that, Conor knowing that, if Khabib wins,
challenge him in July?
Does he challenge Nate Diaz to a trilogy fight because it's a way to have a lightweight title defense? It's not my fault Khabib can't fight. It's a big money fight, huge money fight, trilogy fight, potentially here in Las Vegas in July. I could see that happening. I really, really could, because the whole Floyd stuff is fun to talk about. I don't think it's I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. Conor being Conor, we know he's in shape. He's training. You know Nate would take that fight. By the end of my conversation today about this, I was like, you know what? This is very, very possible.
No, I completely agree with the theory, but I think he goes even more like cynical and evil, and that he just goes, you want the fight? It's happening in the first week of July. You want to fight me? That's when it's happening. Do you choose God or the big money? What do you do? I think that's what McGregor does.
Well, and I think Khabib is the kind of guy who would say, no, I'm not going to do it.
No,
I'm
not,
I'm not going to take
no,
the biggest fight.
No, I know he
fight.
Would, but what he's going to do is challenge him to it. And then when he says no,
he may.
And he says no, he's like, "Hey, I'm never going to fight you then."
He may, but I don't think people will be like, "Oh, Nurmagomedov didn't want to fight." I mean, I think everybody will take the religion excuse as a genuine one,
right?
And then that will give him the opportunity to go to Nate.
Does Conor care though? Because Conor will do it and then get that out there and say, "Hey, he turned it down," and then avoid the fight forever by saying, "I offered it to him, he turned it down."
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is it gives him a perfect opportunity just because of the way it's situated with the year to say, "Yes, I agree to it," knowing that Khabib can't take it.
What religion?
Muslim.
And you just said everyone will accept the religious excuse? Are you sure in this 2017 they will?
All right. Yeah. No, that was probably I misspoke on that
one.
It's
a very enlightened view of yours that is not...
There is probably a large contingent
Everyone's
of fans of
you.
This sport and also Ireland that would not find that as an acceptable excuse.
I'm laughing, but it's kind of not funny. Brett Okamoto is here from ESPN.com. Adam Hill. Covering the cage. We'll have picks in just a little bit. But we have a conversation with Tyron Woodley. Grabbed him yesterday, actually. Started off the conversation. I tried to go down the path, tried to stir the pot, because Dana White was busting his horns and started off the conversation saying, hey, nice, huh? Now you're being called a drama queen.
I'm now being called the UFC welterweight champion of the world.
Yep.
That's going to defend his title on Saturday, March 4th.
So what is the deal with the drama queen stuff?
You know, I'm just the greatest welterweight of all time, and I'm just excited to go out there and prove it once more on Saturday.
All right. Well, let's talk about the lead up to the fight. Or you're trying to get away from this the last couple of days about the way you've been promoted, being called the drama queen. You're trying to shut all that down and just concentrate on the fight?
You know, every time you go into a fight, you know, you only got to focus on the game plan, the task at hand, your preparation. I've done all those things correctly, so nothing can go in there and help him out. No promotion, no fight, no booze, no hoorays. He has to fight his own fight, and I'm just a better opponent, and I'm excited about going in there.
Well, you did fight him before. You know, we saw this fight in November. What did you learn from that fight? You got a draw. You felt you won. I know he felt he won as well. But what did you take from that fight that will help you on Saturday?
I felt I won. He felt it was a draw. He felt he won three rounds. He didn't have an issue with one of those rounds being a 10-A, so therefore he thought it was a draw. My takeaway was I had additional opportunities in that fight beyond the ones that you guys saw me capitalize on to put them away. So in this fight, I won't pass up on any opportunities.
What could you have done to finish that fight where you weren't able to? Because you did have, you know, you did hit him with the big shot, the big right in the fourth. You had a very good first as well, and then you almost had the choke later on in the fight.
You know, maybe take some punches versus the choke. I didn't realize, you know, just the way he was built, how long he was. He didn't have a terribly large head, so it kind of was sweat and being in the fourth round and kind of popped out. So, in general, just, you know, just picking, you know, you got a lot of options when you're out there. You can go for the neck, You can, you know, punch from front. You can take the back and punch and try to put the choke in. So looking back, I probably would have taken his back punch and look for, you know, a choke to come from that angle.
This may seem like a weird question, but I promise I'm going somewhere with it. Did you watch the Oscars the other night?
Yeah, I heard they had another Steve Harvey slash Bruce Buffer Tyron Woodley moment.
They had a Bruce Buffer moment?
Yes. So I guess, you know, you went through that, the last fight. They announced you as the winner. Then they came back, and after you were doing the interview, they came back and said it's a draw. What were those few moments like for you with kind of the chaos in the cage of, you know, they tell you you win, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, you're doing the interview, and then they start scrambling around in there. What was those moments like for you?
I thought they actually were going to come back and say he won. So
right.
I was mad when it was a draw, but I would have been devastated had they said he won.
And so, you know, we talked about the moment the other night at the Oscars. Did you see La La Land?
I did not.
Okay. I figured that was the answer. I didn't see it either. But it was a weird moment. I guess, did you...
By the way, why didn't you see La La Land? Did Sage not want to see that movie?
No, I've just been training, man. I haven't had a chance to go and check it out.
What is going on with your friendship with Sage?
Sage has been an instrumental part of this training camp. He's basically, you know, done everything with me, training, strength and conditioning, running, mitts, you know, anything I did, he did. He ordered the same food I did every time, so I just respect his purity, the fact that he's a true martial artist, the respect still lies within him, and, you know, it's a lost art in our sport. So, you know, I'm just excited to help him out after this and help him win a world title himself.
Is he for real?
He's the real deal, man, in every aspect.
It just doesn't seem, like, to me, when you first met him, did you like him? I mean, for me, it was like an adjustment period of, like, is this kid being serious all the time? Like, he has such a unique view of the world.
You know, I always give people the introduction and meeting. I never judge a book by its cover. I never, you know, come in with a preconceived notion about anyone. So when I met him, he was what I thought he was, and, you know, we've been cool ever since.
Tyron Woodley's with us, UFC 209 pay-per-view on the way. You obviously can get tickets here in Vegas, but they'd also like you to buy the pay-per-view if you're not going to go to the arena for his fight against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. So on the Thompson side, Thompson is saying he doesn't know why he didn't show his entire arsenal. Do you know why he was a little more tentative and didn't throw his kicks?
Because every time he tried to show a part of his arsenal, he got punched in the face.
There you go.
It does change things a little bit, I guess.
He also, he chalked it up to nerves. You buy
he does
that?
A lot of talking, and I do a lot of acting, so that's the seems to be the theme. So I'm gonna do more of that.
I guess, in what ways do you think he's going to adjust what he did from the first time?
I guess he's gonna develop Division I wrestling in 6 weeks, and black belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He's gonna take me down to Samibi.
Obviously that would be a long shot if he was able to develop that. We know, but. I guess
so. He's probably going to do more of what he knows how to do. I mean,
right.
You can mix up your combinations and your punching rhythms and the way you display your striking, but he's still going to come out and be a striker.
I guess, do you feel you need to adjust, or you just need to take advantage of the opportunities that you had?
I mean, I think it's safe to say that I outstruck him, and I can't out-wrestle him, and I can't out-grapple him. So I think I just need to be patient, and when it's the time to strike, I'll strike. When it's the time to grapple, I'll grapple. And if an opening comes, I'll finish, whether it's a knockout or a choke.
How frustrating is it for you to still be dealing with him? You know, you thought you beat him, you thought it was in the past, and now you have him again. Is it frustrating to have to deal with another training camp preparing for the same guy?
Yeah, his style is just frustrating to train for. It's not a traditional style, so it causes problems just in that itself. So once I got through the frustration and became more comfortable with it, then the training camp went pretty smooth.
You did call yourself the greatest welterweight champion of all time. There is another guy coming back who a lot of people feel has that title, and George St. Pierre. How big would that fight be for you if you were able to potentially get it?
It'd be huge. You know, when I say that, I possess the tools on paper and technically and physically and with power and wrestling and jiu-jitsu and just grit and toughness. I am the best welterweight. But I do need the opportunity to prove that against George, against any other top welterweight. When I retire, then I'll get the recognition that I deserve. George is a big part of that, cementing my legacy. So focusing on beating Wonderboy opens up those other doors.
Was he kind of the guy when you started the sport that you looked at and said, okay, eventually that's the guy I'm going to have to beat to get where I want to be?
Yeah, you know, not want to be. I want to be mindful of the way that he set up his training camp. He trained with the best boxers, wrestlers, grapplers, an MMA coach that he had access to. He put his money where his mouth is, and he really fueled a lot of time into his training, and it made him to a point where he lost not only very few fights, he lost very few rounds.
So big fight for you coming up Saturday, but you were able to go home and watch, you know, your kids compete in some wrestling. I saw that on the embedded. Like, what was that experience like for you to kind of see the success that they're able to have in wrestling that kind of following in your footsteps?
It was awesome because I never really forced them to do it. It's something that they wanted to do, and I missed the entire season because of the training camp. So it was good to see the last state championship meet, which is the most important. And that was valuable time that you can't ever get back.
You got to get that coach in your corner.
One of the boys got to pay for all that time I missed.
Yeah, you got to get that coach in your corner. That guy's awesome.
I know, he was my little league coach growing up. He got a job at my middle school so he can coach me there. He got a job at my high school so he can coach me there. So he followed me since I was 10 years old. Very influential, all the mental toughness, all the, just the stubbornness that I have as a fighter. I mean, I can really attribute a lot of that to him.
All right, good deal. We'll see you out there Saturday night. Good luck in the fight. Thank you, Tyron.
Cool. MMA Insider Show.